Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Watched some basketball last night. Connecticut beat Oklahoma State by 10. What was the line? Was it like 8.5? Does that sound about right? We're waiting for Brady Quinn to join us. I have a podcast that we do every Thursday with Shea and Irving, Bad Larry from New Jersey, and then Dylan, our graphics guy. It's gone completely off the rails. It has. Yesterday was one of those, you know, shows where we went, I have no control over this anymore. But it's available at danpatrick.com. It's called Dan Patrick Takes a Gamble. These guys bet on everything. Here is a portion of yesterday's podcast.
Dan, obviously, Shea and Larry both have TCU, so I have to take Kansas State plus 2.5.
You said you're going to stop being stupid 2 weeks ago.
Dan, actually, though, I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think every time I've faded both Shea and Larry when they're in agreement on a bet, it's worked out pretty well.
You've won 3 and lost 1. Ray, I love you, but I'm not trusting your numbers. Dylan seems to be getting away with stuff.
I will also be putting 2 units on that.
K-State.
Plus 2.5.
Okay.
Ray, make mine
right
2 units, too. 2 units.
Anybody else? We all got
yeah, Ray, make mine 4 units. I already had it at 2.
I love this.
Shea and Irving, Bad Larry, and Dylan. That's one of the clips we could actually play. Just letting you know, it's called Dan Patrick Takes a Gamble with Shea and Irving, Bad Larry, and also Dylan, our graphics guy.
I love
guy.
This bleep.
Yeah. Brady Quinn, Fox College football analyst, former Notre Dame quarterback, NFL quarterback, the Big Noon Kickoff crew in Vegas, Pac-12 title game tonight, 8 Eastern between Utah and USC. Not much on the line for this one, huh, Brady?
I don't know if I'd put it that way, but yeah, as of right now here in Vegas, got in late last night in what some people, Dan, would call God's country. Other people call it Sin City. It depends on which side of the spectrum you're on there. But this is a must win, in my opinion, for USC in order to get into the college football playoff. Their resume is really not that strong, with the exception of their wins over UCLA and Notre Dame last week. So it's a big one. And I think it's tough to beat a team twice. We saw Utah take this one earlier in the season. And they're kind of limping into this as when you look at USC, they've gotten better and better and better. You know, Caleb Williams is going to win the Heisman Trophy. He's one of the most unique talents I've ever seen at the quarterback position. The way he scrambles around and runs with the football, but also throws on the run and the off-platform throws and just the entire package. I mean, I don't want to go too far and, you know, say too much about his skill set, but I think you'll see NFL teams tank for him in the 2024 draft because he's going to go number one overall. He's that talented and special to player, and he's got the size, he's got the ability, he checks off every box you're looking for.
Okay, if I said you could have Drake May or Caleb Williams right now.
Caleb Williams.
Not even a question.
Caleb Williams. I mean, and it's not a question in my mind because I've never seen anyone move the way Caleb Williams does. It's so – I don't want to call it unorthodox, but – because everything he does is fundamentally sound. I mean, but with the way he even moves, it kind of hops within the pocket, almost like a boxer in a ring. Hmm. And at the same time, he's always under control to make an accurate throw. He's got a plenty of arm. He's a legitimate threat when he runs. He's kind of almost like Josh Allen with his lower body strength. He's really tough to bring down. I mean, I was watching the Utah tape last night, Notre Dame tape, and I'm going – how can no one tackle this guy? I mean, they've got D linemen who've got their arms around him. They still can't bring him down. And I think it's just a credit to his overall lower body strength. But he makes some throws that you just don't see. And I'm talking even NFL level. Like, NFL level guys will not be able to make some of the throws Kid Williams can make. He's that special. And so I would take him. And it's no disrespect to Drake May, also another very special, talented kid. But some of these tools and intangibles are just very, very rare that Caleb possesses.
Okay, if USC loses, then what?
Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State would slide into that next spot. And I know there's going to be some people out there who don't want to see that because of their recent blowout loss to Michigan at home. But up until that point, you know, their schedule wasn't the strongest. They beat Penn State on the road. We were there for that top 25 win. Notre Dame to start the season. That's not easy to start the season versus a top 25 ranked team now. But they dominated their schedule. I mean, it wasn't even close. They were winning games by an average margin of victory, about 4 touchdowns. So as much as we want to knock them for it, you play the schedule that you make, and they blew everyone out like they should. And they're one of the most talented teams. I just think we kind of caught them in a game where they probably played some of their worst football defensively in the fourth quarter of that game. And give Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, his staff, and their players credit. They went in there and they physically dominated Ohio State a year ago. This was more of kind of demonstrating that mental toughness of being able to beat them up on the line of scrimmage, but also playing a tight game to the fourth quarter and then pulling it out and just being able to withstand the pressure and the magnitude of that game longer.
If I said Alabama and Ohio State on a neutral field, who do you think's favored?
I would say Ohio State would and should be favored. Now, not by much. The difference to me, though, is, you know, Ohio State's wide receivers. You know how I feel about Bryce Young. Bryce Young is another special, special talented kid. Unfortunately, this year, they just don't have the same type of skill at the wide receiver position like they've had in years past. You know, Jameson Williams, that you could tell they miss him, that speed, that dynamic ability. And it seems like everything's been harder. And the offensive line, even though all talented players haven't played great together collectively as a unit, they've had a harder time protecting Bryce Young this year. Defensively, you can make the same case. They're one of the better defenses statistically in the SEC, but this isn't, you know, your typical Nick Saban defense, in my opinion. And look, Ohio State has their flaws too. I just think if you're putting both teams on paper right now, I'd take Ohio State over Bama.
If TCU loses, then what?
If TCU loses, it gets interesting. It puts pressure on the college football playoff committee. I still think they should get in. I think if you're looking at that category of one-loss teams, and granted, they won't have that conference champion, but losing to a team they already beat earlier this season – tough to do. The Kansas State's playing some really good football right now. And I think if you look at the schedule they went through, I mean, at one point, Dan, they played 4 top 25 opponents in 4 consecutive weeks. No one else has done that. Won all of those. You know, they beat 5 top 25 ranked teams. I think we've underestimated them the entire season. And they're a team that's getting healthier. You know, Darius Davis came back, the returner wide receiver, who's their fastest player and a big playmaker. Kendre Miller, the leading running back, came back last week. Quinn Johnston should be back for this game. So they're kind of molding into like what you'd want to see too at this point in time at the right time. But that's a team that I think would be a ton of fun to see how they would square off versus however this thing shakes out between, you know, Georgia and Michigan, who I think we all agree are already in. But then those kind of next two slots and how they're spotted.
Any downside to the upcoming 12-team playoff in 2024?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the argument that you'll get against expansion is it dilutes what has always been the best part about college football. That's the regular season, you know, the rivalries and everything else that comes along with that. And I think there's a thought that if you expand the playoff, there's more games being played, then does it really make some of those rivalry games or some of those conference games as important? I mean, you could always argue the fact that, well, yeah, you could get a bye. You could be hosting a home game in the playoff. Like, all those things still matter, no different than the NFL. As the NFL still continues to expand their playoff format. But I think it's great for the sport, honestly, Dan. Like, when I look at it, I think about some of these young men who are opting out. I mean, for example, the Pac-12 championship game, Tavion Thomas has already opted out. He's the leading rusher for Utah. That's a huge loss.
Yeah.
You know, this last time these two teams squared off and, you know, didn't have as big of an impact, but it's tough. I think it limits the amount of opt-outs that you'll see from some of these players. And I also think it helps some of those, I don't want to say group of five, but maybe brands that aren't up there with Bama and Georgia and Ohio State as far as being a part of it every single year. Much like we look at Gonzaga now, they used to be a Cinderella story in March Madness. Now they're a powerhouse. I think you might see that have a little bit of an impact, too, in college football as well.
The most important hire out of Matt Rhule to Nebraska, Luke Fickell to Wisconsin, Hugh Freeze to Auburn. Give me the order of hires there.
I think it's Matt Rhule to Nebraska, and only because of what that program once was and what his track record has been, at least in college football, and what I think it really kind of needs, you know, to be quite frank. I mean, Nebraska is one of those national brands that was an absolute powerhouse that I recall growing up. And I'm not saying that college football can't live without it, but it sure is a hell of a lot better when Nebraska is a part of that conversation, part of the national conversation. And I think the Big Ten needs it more. You know, Wisconsin's had their run of years where they've been really successful and being able to make it at least to Big Ten championship games or winning the West or playing a factor in all of that. Nebraska just really hasn't been relevant since probably Bo Pelini was there. So I think that and hire is probably more important, not only to Nebraska and their future success, but the Big Ten and what it looks like moving forward, especially if we get rid of divisions and you get some of those, you know, mixture of matchups we're going to see. I think it's more important there. I think the hire by Wisconsin, you know, bringing in Luke Fickell, it's not surprising that Luke Fickell would want to go there because I think it's a good job. They've obviously had some, you know, success there, and he'll do a tremendous job recruiting and getting that back to where I think Barry Alvarez and the rest would love to see it. It's just more interesting that they went outside the box of bringing in a former Wisconsin guy. And that's – it kind of tells you maybe where they're at in the college football realm right now. And what was the third one you mentioned? But obviously that's
Hugh Freeze to Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good hire. He's a good football coach. We'll see what transpires with all of that. It's still an uphill battle if you look at the SEC West, right? I mean, I'm not so sure. Like, we saw him knock off Bama a couple times during his time at Ole Miss. I think you got to worry about Bama. You got to worry about Brian Kelly and LSU. You got to worry about Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. Like, I don't know that I'm putting them right away or even in the short-term future up amongst those programs. I would say they can compete, play spoiler, but that's probably the extent of where it's at right now. And even A&M, who I think is really talented, we'll see what happens with Jimbo. They're not going to move on from him with the buyout, how big that is. That's a team that's going to come around too. It's a matter of time.
Always good to visit with you. Have a great weekend. Safe travels there, Brady. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Brady Quinn. So let me give the full, I should say, introduction, even though we're saying goodbye to him. The Big Noon Kickoff crew, they're in Vegas tonight, the Pac-12 title game. That's at 8 Eastern between Utah and USC. Then the crew will go to Indy for the Big Ten title game, Purdue and Michigan. That's tomorrow. Also, Brady is on Fox Sports Radio's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, which precedes our show. Always great to have him on. Jason in South Dakota leads us off today. Hi, Jace. What's on your mind?
Hey, happy Meat Friday, everybody. Appreciate the show. You guys do great work.
Thank you.
Hey, I hope Brady's still listening because he might even know, but I'm a big loophole guy, and I love the idea of all these college football scenarios that could play out, so I'll get to the point now. What if there's a way that things shake out that they have to decide in the four spot, and then obviously Brady likes Ohio State. I'm looking at Ohio State's schedule. I hate Ohio State, but I'm kind of an SEC homer. If they're deciding between specifically Ohio State and Alabama, Does the committee have to pick exactly four teams, or is there a provision or loophole in there that they could say tie Alabama, Ohio State? The committee came to an absolute tie on these two teams, meaning play it on the field.
No, they wouldn't do that. But I think that's why they have an odd number of people on the committee. Don't they have 13 on the committee?
Yeah.
Yeah, Marv.
Play-in in Dayton?
Let's go. Yeah. Well, they did that for March Madness, you know, a play-in game at the University of Dayton. Sure. No, they wouldn't do that. They'll somehow find a way to have a tie-breaking vote there. Kevin in North Carolina. I like it, but it's not going to happen. Hi, Kev.
Say, Dan.
Hey, bud.
All right, I think I can wrap this up in about 15 seconds, but Brady stole a little bit of my thunder. All right, USC wins, they're in. USC loses, OSU's in. But here's how it gets interesting for Alabama. If TCU loses by 10 or more, and this is what we're not talking about, and LSU beats Georgia, then that two-point conversion, one-point loss, that's a quality loss. And then it sets up a 1-4 SEC and a 2-3 Big Ten. And, boy, are people going to be upset.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah. Sure, why not? I mean, you start to look at the what-if scenarios. I think you have to be fair to, you know, Kansas State. You know, they were up big on TCU earlier this year. That point spread is less than 3. Utah's already beaten USC. I do think that they're two different teams now. When they played in Utah relied on their tight end, Kincaid. I think he had 12 catches in that game. USC's defense has been better. It couldn't have been much worse. But it feels like that offense is pretty special. But the point spread is less than 3, which is kind of surprising on a neutral field there. It feels a little more dangerous than it needs to be if you're a USC fan. All right, update the poll results there, Seton.
Well, there's a narrative being pushed right now.
A narrative?
Yeah, there is a narrative.
A narrative. Okay.
Possibly by one of our own, that it is 100% to 0 college football over the World Cup.
We put the poll question up. I voted for college football real quick, and then I took a picture of it. It is 100% to 0. I'm assuming it's developed since
then. Wait, you were the first voter?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Very McLovin-ish.
Okay. Yes, Seton.
Right now it's at 62% college football.
You can only watch one. You could get all the college football this weekend or the World Cup on Saturday morning. That's the poll question.
Yeah, you can either watch the World Cup or you can watch college football this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. And apparently only, 38% of Americans actually love their country.
How many times have you voted for the World Cup? Because I know Paulie's been voting for college football.
I just canceled Paul out. I just voted the one time.
Okay. And I love soccer. You know, we should have a World Cup of college football. We would roll. Can you imagine we put all our best people together and went over and took on France? That would be a blowout. That'd be good times.
Yeah.
We love to roll people.
Well, that's why this time of the year we do, hey, can you imagine if we had our best athletes out there in all sports, how we would do against the rest of the world? I don't know how we would do against the rest of the world. They grow up playing soccer. Soccer is one of those, hey, you're not going to be able to play this or this or this. You can play soccer. Or, hey, you're not big enough to play football, but you can play soccer. But it is changing that you're seeing great athletes. And, you know, when you start with the youth level, that's really what the difference is. When you're just grown into it, all of a sudden you're treated like you're a professional when you're 12 years of age. Yeah, Mark.
What if Tyreek Hill kept playing soccer? Him on one side, Ja'Marr Chase on the other.
Okay.
I said it like I know there are sides. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I was like midfield, defenseman.
Striker.
Your striker.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill would be interesting to see his speed compared to other players' speeds around the world. Yes, Marv.
He tweeted out, should have kept playing soccer.
Did he really?
The energy be so electric.
Okay.
He'd be running, but the ball would be 20 yards behind him because he wouldn't bring it with him. 20 meters. Oh. European.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
I want to get that criticism.
Yeah.
Celsius.
Yes.
Love Celsius.
Yeah.
It's 20 outside.
Let's take a break. How about that? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth, with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. We've had this discussion, too much of a discussion, that has to do with Christian Pulisic's injury. But he will play tomorrow. In fact, at the press conference, Christian Pulisic had to acknowledge what kind of injury, where exactly he suffered the injury.
I mean, it's a pelvic contusion, you know. It's
not a euphemism, Henry. It's what it sounds like.
No, but at the same time, it's not. Like, I didn't get, like, hit in the balls, but, like, it's not like, I'm all right. It was very painful, and it just, you know, that bone is there for a reason to protect you, I think. And I hit it well, and it was sore. But like I said, I'm getting better.
Okay, he's good, better. And then there was the controversy on the pronunciation of Quejones. And, of course, Ross Tucker called him Quejones.
What?
Israel in California on that topic. Hi, Israel.
Good morning, Daniel Patricio. Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
So I'm 47 now, and I've heard this since I was a kid, and I've always wondered as a kid, like, why are they not saying it correctly? And, I mean, again, as a kid, you don't correct anybody the same. You know, somebody older than you. But the correct way of saying it is cojones, C-O-J-O. Cajones, C-A-J-A, is drawers. But like I told your screener, for some reason, you know, other people than Mexicans or Hispanics always say cajones, which is not the correct pronunciation. It's cojones.
Cojones.
Wonder that, like, why has nobody ever corrected anybody?
All right, you just helped America, Israel. Thank you. Cojones, is that right?
Yes, spelled C-O-J-O-N-E-S. Cojones.
Whew. Got that out of the way. That means we can bring in our good buddy Tom Curran. Who's handling pre and post game with the Patriots, and he joins us, the Patriot Insider for NBC Sports Boston. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Dan?
I'm good.
Hey, it's definitely not Quejones.
Are there any words that New Englanders say that, you know, slang that we would go, I don't know what you just said?
Yeah. Hey, is there a bubbler over there? And that means, is there a water fountain nearby?
Oh, okay. A bubbler.
So, a bubbler.
Okay.
Bubbler. Yeah, he was running down the hall. He slipped and he hit his face on the bubbler.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Tom. That was really all right. I needed.
Have a great December.
Handicap the Patriots here, the next five games and the possibility of making the playoffs. Then we'll work our way back to what happened last night.
Yeah, I like that approach. You know, right now on paper, they're going to play games against Las Vegas and Arizona in the next 2 weeks, a little road trip, and they could very well win both of those on paper if they play to the level of their 6-6 record. And then they have on Christmas Eve the Cincinnati Bengals, who are playing really well but have been a little bit Jekyll and Hyde themselves this year. So you have a team who could be 9-6 and then close the season at home with Miami and then on the road at Buffalo, and maybe they don't have anything to play for. So conceivably, they could be 11-6, but that is an extremely rosy outlook for a Patriots team that just doesn't seem to have the urgency or attention to detail or boldness that it used to have and normally had.
But what is missing here? Who's to blame for the offense?
Bill. Because Bill Belichick decided that Josh McDaniels leaving was his cue to revamp the offense, to move away from the very sophisticated and evolved option-based offense where so much happens after the snap to something that's more user-friendly, which took away a lot of what Mac Jones was good at, processing quickly, moving the ball precisely. They also went away from a lot of the gap runs that they had success with. And additionally, in moving away from that, they installed somebody to install it who basically does HVAC and you're asking them to fix your car. It was a bad idea. And that's where the buck stops is with Bill. And he said at the beginning of the year, well, if it doesn't work with Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, blame me. So here we are.
Who is Mac Jones yelling at on the sidelines?
The world. The world is a vampire. He is yelling at the notion of this timidity that the Patriots have adopted. You know, there was a period at the beginning of the year where they wanted Mac Jones to push it down the field. We're going to be more aggressive. We're going to get chunk plays. That's why we have Devontae Parker. We can't be standing around in a division with Tyreek Hill and Josh Allen and scoring 17 points. We're going to get chunk plays. They play the Ravens. He tries for a bunch of chunk plays. He gets three picks and injured. And since then, they have just turned into an armadillo. And you saw it last night. They're afraid of their own shadow in so many different ways. You see it at the end of the game. And I think that's Mac just saying, look, I'm a pretty good player. We have the – get this, Dan. They have the highest paid in terms of cap space tight ends in the league. Number one in cap space allocated. Third in wide receiver cap space allocated in the league. And then you see that product and you're like, it can't necessarily be all on the players.
That surprises me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because I could see the frustration with Mac Jones. It's like, I want to throw it downfield, but who am I throwing it downfield to? It didn't feel like there's separation there where you go, okay, we have – like, who is your playmaker? Jacoby Myers?
He said with a level of disbelief. yeah. And that's the thing is they don't have a Hill, a Tyreek Hill, or a Stephon Diggs, or a Justin Jefferson. So what you need to do is beat teams with scheme, which is what Josh McDaniels was always really, really good at doing. You'd see guys running naked and alone because – they had schemed something and set something up. Now, they did have Gronk and they did have Edelman, who were individually electric players and could separate. They don't really have any separators right now, so they need to be more on top of things with scheme. And Matt is over his head in trying to do that.
We're talking to Tom Curran, the Patriots insider, NBC Sports Boston. I don't know how these stories get started. I don't know if it's a speculation, rumor, but Tom Brady, hey, maybe we could see him going back to New England. Then all of a sudden it became a story.
Yeah.
It became a headline. It became a report.
It morphed very quickly into a report when it seemed to me as if Jeff Howe from The Athletic was, you know, dot connecting. Brady's contract's up. Patriots, he used to play there. He could go back. Well, to go back, Bill was already kind of greasing the skids to move on from Tom at 36. At 46, he's going to bring him back, admit a mistake, tell Mac Jones to sit down and watch for a year. And then Brady's going to say, well, it was great that you wouldn't give me the money that I asked for a couple of years ago and made me move and uproot my family after I begged you to stay. Worked out great for me, but I'm going to say bygones be bygones. Come back, be under your thumb again, even though I respect you highly, and play with a team with an offensive coordinator who used to be the defensive coordinator and failed with Detroit. I just, to get through that, additionally, to get to the point where Bill says, Mac, go ahead and have a seat, that's a leap, man. That's a leap.
Yeah, I can't imagine if Tom is that desperate to find a team that wants to employ him after this year, because that would be, there's no reason for him to go, gosh, let's go to New England. I can take advantage of that offense. Randy Moss isn't there anymore. There'd be no reason to go up there. And it's not any farewell tour. Doesn't strike me as either one of those guys are, you know, interested in that.
Yeah, I think the high level of respect that you're seeing from each guy and the appreciation and the love that they have for each other that was very well veiled for the last six or seven years here is an outgrowth of, hey, the success that you guys had together. So it's you know... It's more likely, Dan, sorry to hem in and haw, but if you look at the Vegas situation, there's about a $40 million, if I'm not mistaken, guarantee that has to go to Derek Carr soon after the season ends. Is he the answer there? Is he a guy who plays with kind of the attitude and aggressiveness that Josh McDaniels won and the accuracy? Or would Brady be a better fit there?
Yes.
And if he's looking for landing spots, a place with Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow and Devontae Adams to jettison from there out to the Bay Area, it would seem like an easier dot to connect.
I'll leave you with this since you just saw the Buffalo Bills. The team to beat in the AFC East is?
The Buffalo Bills. And I would have said that before Miami because the Bills are just going through a little bit of a rough patch, but they are just so unbelievable at quarterback.
You're not buying into the Dolphins.
I am. I think they're a very good team, and all the credit in the world to Mike McDaniel and what he's done in making that team in his vision. But I just watch Tua sometimes, and as much as he's done this year, and credit to him, I just don't think that he's a transcendent player. Maybe he will be, but I don't think he is there yet. And I think that Josh Allen is.
If I said Bills or Chiefs.
Chiefs has to be the Chiefs, Dan. I hate to go with the chalk. It's boring as hell, but it's the Chiefs, my friend.
Yeah. Always great to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
Do you think Bill Belichick is going to be in New England for as long as he wants? From the outside perspective, that's my question for you.
How long does he want?
Till he says, I'm all set. Say 75. No, that's a long time. Say the end of Mac Jones' contract. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. He gets the Shula record by the end of next year, or early 2024.
I'll go back to what Brett Musburger told me about Joe Paterno. There are certain coaches who coach until they die. That's all they know. It could be health issues, but, you know, they coach until they die. Is Belichick a coach until he dies kind of guy?
I don't think so. I think he really likes the travel that he engages in, being on Nantucket, being around his grandkids and his kids. I don't think he's a coach until he dies guy. I think he's a coach for your place in history and to cement yourself at the top of, you know, the Olympus of coaches. I think he is that guy. So he is now, what, 21 behind?
Yeah.
Don Shula? So.
I don't know if you could say, you know, travel and then you go for a guy in New England going to Nantucket. I mean, that's a 45-minute ferry ride. I mean, he's not going to Nepal.
I mean, it's not like I'm going to Nepal.
No, you're going to Nantucket. Like, I travel a lot. Really? Where do you go? 45-minute ferry ride. I go to Nantucket.
We're going to Braintree.
Yeah. I'm going to Fall River. Man, oh, you better pack for a while. You're going to be gone. Tom, great to talk to you.
All right. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Tom. That's Tom Curran, the Patriots insider, NBC Sports Boston. Made it seem like, you know, he's Magellan going around the globe. Amerigo Vespucci or whatever his name is. Let's see. JD in Upper Peninsula, the UP. Hey, JD.
Hey, good morning, Dan. That's Happy Meat Friday. It's JD from the UP.
Hey, bud.
You know where the UP is at?
Yes.
The guy on the phone didn't know where it was at.
Well, that's Tyler. Okay.
Okay. I got two things real quick for you, Dan. Dutch bands. You got Seton and Pauly talking about Dutch bands. Now, you got Pauly, the Sultan of Snark, and Seton, the callow youth whose brain is wrapped around footy. There was a Dutch band, Danny, you might remember, that they had one real good song, one great song. The real good song was When the Bullet Hits the Bone, and the great song was Radar Love.
Yeah, Golden Earring.
Golden Earring.
Okay,
yep.
Okay.
And the second thing, if you ever get sick again, Danny, I'll pass on Grandpa's age-old remedy that cured everything. Sweet roll in bed with Honey.
Well, I'd have to talk to Honey and see if she'll let me roll in bed with her. Thank you. Thank you, JD. That's JD Upper. Oh, wait, was there something else there, Todd?
I think he was talking about some kind of food item.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, Paul.
We played Know Your Netherlands earlier,
yeah.
And he is right. Golden Earring was a popular rock band in the 70s from The Hague, Netherlands. Any sound that starts with the, I like.
Mm.
Rinus Gerritsen and the Boys were a good band. They had a few good songs, a few chart songs.
Yeah. Radar Love.
Yep.
Golden Earring. And the Bullet Hits the Bone.
It's a good song.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't they have... I thought they had two hits.
I got Radar Love.
And Radar Love, the remix.
Yes, yeah.
Acoustic.
The radio's playing some forgotten song. I think Brenda Lee's coming on strong. Hmm. Something Hypnotized. Sunrise.
Either way, when we do lists of great Dutch bands, they're always going to be on our show.
Yeah. Eddie Van Halen is his ancestors from Netherlands?
He's the greatest guitarist in world history, but also Netherlands history.
Didn't Pulisic get hit in the Netherlands?
Come on. No, okay. I didn't, all right? I didn't, no, okay. I didn't get hit there, okay? No.
Okay. If you did get hit there, would you embrace that you got hit there?
Okay, and if you didn't get hit there, would it really annoy you if that was the whole story? If, like, okay, I got hit in the stomach, but everybody thinks I got hit in the nuts, would you be bothered by that?
I would try to capitalize on it. I would do something for Icy Hot or, you know, something with that had to do with groin humor products.
An underwear company?
Yes. Yeah, like Duluth.
Yeah, protect this house.
Yeah, there's something like that. Embrace it.
Yeah, okay, I didn't. Well, it's not a euphemism or anything, okay?
All right, we'll get to more phone calls coming up. Any update on Drew Brees' condition?
Yeah, so earlier we talked about that Drew Brees was in Venezuela for shooting a commercial, and in this area that's known for lightning strikes. It's apparently that's why they went there to shoot the commercial. There was a lightning strike very close to the set. Catherine Terrell from ESPN, she covers the Saints full time. Quote, I just texted Drew Brees. He said he's good, and he was not struck by lightning. Unquote. So he's both good and was not struck by lightning. Many other places reported that Drew Brees himself, not us,
yes,
was struck by lightning. They jumped the gun a little bit on that one.
Yes. And that's why I said to Paulie, I don't want to report it until somebody is that I respect is reporting this. And Drew Brees saying that he was not struck by lightning. But if you look at that video, that is an explosion. That looked like it was really bad. But people go there. Photographers go there just to get the lightning strikes?
Yes, this area is known for that. So like 300 nights a year, they have lightning storms or lightning strikes in the area.
300?
Right.
Oh, my God.
It's in Venezuela.
But they went there in accordance to, or using that as the backdrop for something they're doing commercially.
Yeah, so this betting company, PointsBet, does these things, lightning strikes, about their betting strategies.
Yeah.
And so they're probably doing a shoot around that. Bonus coverage, Dan, for you. Your boy, Ruud van Nistelrooy, Dutch.
Oh, of course
he used to be a big fan of him back in the day.
R-U-U-D?
Yes.
Yes.
Double umlaut.
Oh, love umlauts. Yes, Todd.
What about the good old green screen and special effects and things like that instead of putting Drew Brees and the whole crew in harm's danger about with lightning all over the place in Venezuela?
Well, I'd like to know what the statistics are of people getting hit by lightning in this area. It's one thing to look at it and be around it. It's another thing, you know, did he know that there was danger here? I'd be curious about that.
If you watch the video in the background, there's someone shooting the shoot, like a reporter or something.
Yeah.
There's the lightning strikes like 40 miles in the background, just all over the place, just lighting up the sky. And then this one just hits right near the set.
You ever been next to something that got hit by lightning? I did on a golf course. And that's one of those when they say, you know, go duck for cover. And then you got somebody who's always out there who's playing golf. And, you know, you're like, oh, I'm not going to get hit by lightning. But watching a tree get hit by lightning, that's when you hear that siren. Get the hell off the golf course. Yes.
It's like when you're close enough that it makes your head, like the hair on your arms and neck stand up.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? That's where you're like, okay, we should have been inside.
Yes, we should. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray, depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Seton, would you update the poll results? And then we'll speak with Rebecca Lowe, NBC Sports Premier League host.
Dan, you can only watch sports one day this weekend. You go on Saturday or Sunday. Man, is this 51% say Saturday?
Okay.
51%?
Yeah.
What the heck?
It didn't go well when Seton posed the question, you could watch the World Cup or you could watch college football.
We got spanked.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Keep your head up, though.
I'm just so disappointed.
Yes, Paulie.
I don't know if I could pass on college football and the World Cup, especially USA, on Saturday for an NFL slate that is... It's important, but it's not that important. No one's going in or out of the playoffs on Sunday.
Well, there's more at stake with college football and the World Cup than there is the NFL on Sunday.
Heck yeah. I mean, close.
Let's bring in Rebecca Lowe, NBC Sports Premier League host, the voice of reason, by the way. You're joining us to talk some World Cup, and she joins us on the program. 1 week ago today.
What, Dan?
USA, England.
Yeah, it was a go being the operative word. Can we talk about the future?
Who were you rooting for?
You know who I was rooting for. You know full well who I was rooting for.
England.
Correct. By the way, that poll is brilliant. And everyone is correct. Saturday is the only day of interest this weekend. I mean, I'm finally feeling like you, your listeners, this country, they're understanding the beautiful game.
If the United States beats the Netherlands, fill in the blank after that.
Well, then, A, they go to the quarterfinals, and that will be, I actually can't remember the bracket, who they possibly could play against. But the bigger issue there, well, not issue, but the bigger effect is the amount of coverage that we'll get in this country, the step forward that will be for this team and this sport in this country. And, you know, I'm all about growing the game, Dan Patrick. I'm all about growing the game. So go USA.
If England had lost to the United States.
Yeah.
What would have happened?
Yeah.
What would have happened?
Well, nothing really in terms of the effect of it, because USA would probably have gone through as group winners and England would still have beaten Wales because Wales were rubbish and would have gone through second. So England would have played Netherlands and USA would have played Senegal. I actually think Netherlands might be an easier tie than Senegal. So, you know, if we'd lost to the USA, you know, there would have been some major inquest situations going on in England, but we'd have forgotten it very quickly, just like I'm over it already. I don't even know why you brought it up, because Wales, we smashed them and now we're into the last 16.
Okay.
So we're just all about the future, Dan Patrick.
All right. Sometimes it's just a hypothetical, a what if scenario. That's all. That's it. We deal in hypotheticals here.
Well, I've got a hypothetical for you. What if you weren't so excited about 0-0 with England? I mean, what if? You know, guys, calm down.
Okay, how about this? Let's say Christian Pulisic got hurt and you were in England and you were describing it for the BBC.
I knew you were going to go here tonight.
I didn't lead with this. I did not lead with this.
Funny, every time I come on this show, we either swear or we talk about a part of the anatomy which we just don't need to talk about, or we talk about rubbers, pencil erasers. Pellicet, nether regions.
But that's not really British, is nether regions. Like, I'm thinking, how would you describe it if you were home?
Well, if I was on television in England, I would probably say, you know, the lower part of the pelvis. I'm not, I'd have to be very careful. I wouldn't say what you want, what you want me to say. Every time
I'm not having you say bollocks. I'm not, or wanker. I'm not doing that. I said it. I'm not saying that you're on the BBC. They would say these things, wouldn't they?
They would not. Damn. Absolutely
Sky Sports,
no but
Sky Sports.
No one is saying the B word. No one is saying the W word. Only we say that, or you say that on your show. We don't say that. We say the nether region,
okay,
or the lower section of the pelvis. Okay.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. How important do you think that goal was for Christian Pulisic, as far as how we view him? You know, the big stage probably has been a disappointment in the Premier League, but that was one of the biggest goals we've ever had.
Yeah, you're spot on. You're absolutely spot on. His time at Chelsea has been disappointing, Dan, on a number of levels. He's not had enough game time. When he does come in, he sometimes makes an impact, sometimes doesn't. He just cannot command a starting position in that Chelsea lineup. They now have a new manager in Graham Potter, so that may change. But going into this World Cup, he hadn't had a lot of minutes under his belt, and he's really injury prone. So going into this World Cup, it was all about Pulisic as the gem. Pulisic is the star of this team. Can he step up? And that is a question that we ask about so many soccer players going into the World Cup. Is the star player going to step up? And so far, to be fair to him, he is showing us at this World Cup why Chelsea paid so much money for his services and why he should be at the best league in the world, which is the Premier League.
And I wonder about this. We talk about it in sports here in the United States, of having that experience, going through something. I think they're the second youngest team. I think Ghana is the youngest team, and Iran was the oldest team. I wonder about that experience in World Cup as opposed to, you know, something like the Premier League.
Yeah, and I think you're right, because the World Cup is a completely different bubble. It's a very, very unique feeling, and very few players get to play more than just one. When you're young, you just don't have as much fear in anything, Dan. You know, whether you're at school and you're going out, you know, partying on a weekend, you don't have that fear that, say, like you have when you were 30 years old, when you're like, oh, I'm not going to go to that particular party. That's why young people make mistakes. So they don't have the fear. This young American team doesn't have the fear. It doesn't have the experience. They feel like they have nothing to lose, even though there will always be pressure on them, especially with the World Cup coming to the United States in 4 years' time. But I think the youth is what's driving this team.
Time to play Know Your Netherlands. Are you ready?
Oh, always, Dan, for you. I'm always ready.
And I said Netherlands, okay?
Checking you did say that.
Okay. Yes, I did. Paulie, the first question for Rebecca Lowe Know Your Netherlands.
Okay, what did the Netherlands used to be called?
Holland.
Correct.
Is that right? And Paulie, I feel like if you're from the 90s, like me, then you still call them Holland, but you're probably not allowed to.
I think it's frowned upon.
Okay,
I better not then. I better skip.
Okay. All right.
Netherlands, yeah.
Next question, Know Your Netherlands.
All right, if you are from the Netherlands, you are blank.
Dutch
is correct.
Whoa.
All right, they get tougher.
Guys, please, they got to get tougher.
this is not as tough as the Becoming American quiz that we gave her 3 years ago.
Yeah, she failed that. Yeah.
What was invented in the Netherlands? What was invented in the Netherlands that's become something that's all over the world and a big part of the business side of the world?
Yeah, giving hints.
I mean, as that, that's a massive hint. I mean, I've no idea. Big part of the business. That's just not my area.
The stock market.
Stock market.
Dutch East India Trading Company.
Look at that. Fascinating. So much to know about the Nets.
Okay, here we go. What else do we have?
Okay, this is fill in the blank. Okay. There are more blank in Netherlands than people. There are more blank in Netherlands than people.
Tulips, goats, clogs.
All are correct, but we were looking for bicycles.
Bicycles.
Tulips can be approved answer.
I said clogs. My answer was clogs. Yeah, my answer was clogs too. Okay.
Everyone's got two pairs.
The final question for Rebecca Lowe. Know your Netherlands.
Okay, there are four possible answers. Name a famous person who is from the Netherlands or ancestors are from the Netherlands.
No hints.
Not a footballer?
Not a footballer.
Or can I do football?
No.
Oh, do me a favor.
Rue Van Nistelrooy. You wanted to go there, didn't you? You did not. Okay.
No, but your knowledge honestly continues to astound me.
Yes.
No, I was going to go for Johan Cruyff, obviously, because he's incredibly famous. But in terms of I think there was wasn't the guy in The Sound of Music from, was he neither? I don't know. Basically, I just haven't got a lot of Dutch people in my mind.
Shockingly, we're going to accept that. A guy from The Sound of Music was Dutch. We're going to accept that answer.
No, we're not
Thank you, Paulie. No. Yes, we are, Dan. Yes, we are. My Netherlands.
We would have taken Rutger Hauer, Vincent van Gogh, Rembrandt, or Eddie Van Halen.
You need to know your Netherlands. Don't worry about mine.
No, we know our Netherlands. I said Van Gogh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Van Gogh.
What would you give up for England to win the World Cup?
Not so much, Dan. It's a great question. I mean, take my house. I really believe that if England, oh God, it makes me sweaty thinking about it. If England win the World Cup, it will rank as the top 3 days of my life. Can't tell you the order, but it's going to rank in that top three. And by the way, we're going to England to restart the Premier League on Boxing Day, December the 26th from Arsenal. So we're going over as a family week after. So we're going to be there. Should it happen, should England get to the final, we will be in England. I'm going to be right in the middle of that carnage, right in the middle of Oxford Circus. That's where you're going to find me, in amongst the carnage.
All right. So your marriage, your son, Teddy, and... Yeah. Winning the World Cup.
In no particular order.
I'm guessing having your son, England wins the World Cup, and then getting married.
In no particular order, Dan, I couldn't possibly comment.
Okay, maybe it's winning the World Cup. Anybody can get married. A lot of people have kids.
But England doesn't win the World Cup.
Exactly. England, jeez. Teddy... And then getting married.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
What do you think USA getting to the quarterfinals would do for football in this country?
I think they'd have to go a step further.
Semifinals, you think?
Yes. Yeah. Final four. We view it like March Madness, where you have these surprises in March Madness, and then you get to the Final Four, and that's where the real teams show up. I think getting to the Final Four, no matter what happened after that, and then 4 years down the road, you know, the second youngest team at this World Cup, now you got that experience, momentum, interest in the United States. Do you need, I mean, if you need me, you want me to help you? You know,
anytime. You know that I can do NFL just as well as you can do soccer. So we can just interchangeable.
We shouldn't be bragging about that. That's not a good thing. It's great to talk to you. Safe travels.
Always. Thank you, my friend.
Go England.
Go England. Go USA. Go both of them. But just so much love between
you
the
know,
countries.
As Harry Kane goes, England goes.
That's it.
Harry Kane!
Absolutely.
Once again, Christian Pulisic got hit in the nether region. Thank you, Rebecca.
You're welcome.
I love making her blush. I do. I love making her blush.
I like that you're like, what would you say on BBC? Oh, they would say, okay, what Sky Sports would. Sky Sports would say it, though, right?
Damn it, will you tell me what I want to hear?
Okay, no, but what about Sky Sports? They definitely would, right?
Oh, and she knew that I was going there. I waited four questions in before I went there.
Oh, man, that's funny.
What did she say? The B word? Can't say the B word? Bollocks.
So it's allowed here, because that's not an American swear word.
Well, isn't there an album?
Never mind the bollocks.
Yeah. So I should be able to quote that. Hey, a couple of phone calls in here. I'm looking outside. We got a fire going that, got the meat Friday. Man, this is good.
We're kind of setting the mood early for date night, huh?
I know.
A little fire going.
This is romantic.
Okay.
Right here.
A little pasta. We do a little.
I know.
Lady in the Tramp sitch.
Ooh.
You know.
Brian in South Bend. Hi, Brian. What's on your mind today?
First time, 5'11", and I can still see my toes.
Nice.
All right, so this is a perfect segue, because you were just talking about the nether regions.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the show, you mentioned something about a sponsorship idea.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if you guys realized that you already had one. With Love Sack.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Brian. We need to get a hold of Christian Pulisic and let him know. Needs to do some endorsing for Love Sack.
Hey, it's not where I got hit, okay?
Here is Christian Pulisic. He is disagreeing with where he got hit.
I mean, it's a pelvic contusion, you know.
It's not a euphemism, Henry. It's what it sounds like.
No, but at the same time, it's not. Like, I didn't get, like, hit in the balls, but, like, I'm all right. I'm all right. It was very painful, and it just, you know, that bone is there for a reason to protect you, I think, and I hit it well, and it was sore, but like I said, I'm getting better.
Okay. Make no mistake about that, where he got hit. Let's see, a couple more phone calls in here. Sean in Oregon's back. Hi, Sean. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. You know, America's not giving up conference championship football for round of 16 soccer is what it comes down to. If this was the final soccer, we might give it a watch, but we're not giving up college football for that. And I want to back up Baby Hands Marvin there when he's talking about the NFC rivalry. You know, that's a big deal. And you look down in Texas, there's a lot of college football teams down in Texas, and that cowboy passion is real. And they love the NFC East rivalry. You know, when I'm down there, those guys love playing the Giants and the Eagles. And, you know, if you're in a Giants bar and you got three guys walk in there, they should just be politely asked to leave and not be served, because, you know, you want to defuse and de-escalate anything like that and tell them, boys, this ain't a place for that.
Yeah, unless they're going in there to escalate things, Sean. Yeah, you would not want that to happen. Even the other way around, Giants fans walking into an Eagles bar, there'd be no way in the world. When my son, who's a Packer fan, says he's going to go to a game at Soldier Field, and I say, don't wear your jersey. He goes, no, I got to wear my jersey. I say, you don't have to wear your jersey. And they're going to know you're a Packer fan when you're cheering. Don't wear your jersey. He wears jersey. Yeah, Paul.
I've been to Bears games and been to Packers games. I've never felt like it was a very, not a violent crowd or looking for fights crowd. I've been to Jets games, and that was, it felt like there's a bunch of guys running around the stadium looking to pop someone in the face if they got a chance. And I'm not profiling. I've been to both.
I've been going to Jets games going back to the 80s, and they can make you nervous. There's certain fan bases, certain factions of those fan bases that'll make you nervous. Chris, and you know, you go to the bathroom and you have the opposing team jersey on, there's no security. I mean, you can't. We had Mark Wahlberg telling us that, where he went to a Jets game. He's a Patriot fan and got into a fight years ago. Didn't he use the expression he fish hooked a guy?
Yeah.
I think that's the only time somebody has ever said that they fish hooked a guy, and it happened to be Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, Paul.
Imagine getting in a fight with someone like world famous, like Mark Wahlberg, and you're just throwing, you're like, hey, there's Mark Wahlberg. I'm throwing it.
Yeah, Marv.
But when those guys are in that, those fans, they don't even care. Hey, Boogie Nights, get over, you know. Oh, how's your team doing? And, you know, call them the Italian job something like that.
Yeah.
And so throw all that world famous stuff out, because all they see is a Patriots fan right there. Especially with the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins, whatever.
Let's take a break. It's a Meat Friday. If you're watching on Peacock, and you should be, We will unveil our meat Friday. Who says you can't cook pasta on the Traeger grill? No.
Nobody.
I don't know. Well,
11.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Turns out a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.